Welcome to American Indian Living, a program developed by the Native Education and Health Initiative to improve and enhance the health of people throughout the Native communities. American Indian Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he's ready today to help you learn more about your health. Here's Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we have a very special show in store for you. It's looking at a fascinating window into health that you've probably never thought about. We're looking at how writing, in fact, how writing a book can improve your health and can improve the health of those around you. To aid us in this very important task is a special guest by the name of Anne McIndoe. Anne, it's great to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Dr. David. I'm delighted to be here.
So, Anne, you've been described as an author's coach. Now, I'll be honest with you, that's not a term that I've heard before. Can you bring me up to speed on that?
Yes, and I get that a lot, and it's because I made it up. When I started So You Want to Write in 2005, I decided, okay, so what's my gig? What's my title? What do? I coach people to get their books out of their head. I am an author's coach, and I made it up. And when I Googled myself, I was the only one on the Google page under author's coach. And now if you go and Google author's coach, there are over 18, last time I looked, there were 18,000 author's coaches, but I'm still on the first page.
Tremendous, Anne. Why I'm so excited about the material that you have and about today's program is because I believe a lot of the American Indian Living listeners have some incredible things to share, incredible things to communicate. And although historically in Indian country, we'd speak about oral traditions or transmitting things simply by voice, we're finding more and more Native Americans who are writing and are sharing in that way. You have an interesting perspective on this whole topic. As I looked at your book, you do make this transition, it seems, almost seamlessly between the spoken word and the written word. Help us to see that connection.
You know, that's a great, great point. And for your audience, you know, it's important to get the stories, the legacy, the tradition written down somewhere so that future generations can enjoy it and still know it. And so what I've done is I've made it really easy for someone to get their book out of their head by talking their book versus writing. Many of us, you know, not all of us are writers, and we sit down and we want to write something and we stare at that white screen for a while and then we flip down the lid and say, okay, never mind, we'll do that later. And so what I've created is talking your book, and I help the author by, first we organize the subjects and the topics, and we create the structure of the book. And then based on that structure, we talk. And so I guide the author, so tell me about this. What does this mean? Tell me about that. And if someone asks you a question, you know, if I asked you, you know, Dr. David, you know, can you send me an email and describe your house? You might sit there for a minute and think, what should I start with? Whereas if I said to you, you know, doctor, can you just tell me about your house? What does it look like? You know, you could talk about it for 5 minutes without thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with your content, because most of the stories, most of the wisdom is already in your head. It's just a matter of asking the right question so that it comes out.
Well, you not only individually coach people, you hold seminars and you've written a book that I have actually had the privilege of reading called 7 Easy Steps to Write Your Book. And I'm just going to say out of the box, Anne, I really thought it was a very easy book to kind of wrap your arms around. Is that a common response that you get from readers?
Yes. Yes, it is. And thank you. Thank you for those kind words. I get lots of emails almost daily, you know, hey, I got your book and I got my book now and here it is. And, you know, what's the next step? And It's an easy, and that's what I made it. That's what my design was, to make it easy, step by step. You know, if you follow the steps, you will get your book.
Now, one of the questions that folks may be having, we're focusing in this show on health, enhancing health. I recently had a guest on the show who shared that part of her journey to healing from some abuse issues, verbal abuse, racial put downs as she was growing up, was actually the process of writing. Do you find that this is a common experience in folks that you work with?
Absolutely. I have had many authors who've had, you know, trauma and things in their life that, you know, was creating upset and that were stopping them. And actually writing the story or talking your story and getting it out of your body is very therapeutic. It's very healing, and it's a way to get rid of it.
So what we're talking about in today's show with Ann McIndoe, who's an author's coach, is we're saying we've got some exciting healing options that we're talking about on this edition of American Indian Living that aren't often spoken about. You can actually experience a level of healing yourself by telling your story, whether it's spoken or written, as Ann has just explained. And then in sharing that material, you can actually make a difference in many other people's lives. And so we're talking about bringing that circle of healing really complete, or at least bringing it full circle in today's show. And let's step back and talk about the book process. You've got these 7 easy steps to write a book. And let's talk to the person right now. They say, I'm glad Dr. DeRose has got a guest on the show who knows about writing. I've always wanted to write. I want to share these things. Where does a person start, Ann?
Oh, I love that question. And you're going to be blown away by how easy it is. And I compare it to, you know, anything else that you're going to do. When you're going to do something, a project, you always plan. Planning is the biggest thing. So if you are going to make up a batch of brownies, you pull out the pan and the mix and the eggs and the nuts and the milk and with all the ingredients you needed, right?
Right, right.
Put it on your kitchen counter and you'd look at the directions. What do I do first? Put mix in bowl. Okay, I can do that.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same thing with a book. And it's the same thing. You're going to gather all your ingredients. So here's the first step. Step one is to create what I call your resource pile. And you're going to gather up all the notes and journals and books and ideas and post-it notes and grab that box from under the bed and the folder and the hidden way in the back of the drawer that's called Someday When I Write My Book.
Mm.
You're going to pull all of those things out, and you're going to pull out anything that reminds you or inspires you about what you want to write about. And it could be a book. It could be a trophy. It could be a certificate. It could be a picture of you and your family. It could be your kids. It could be about anything, your grandparents, anything. A postcard you got in the mail, something, anything that reminds you or inspires you about what you're going to write about. And most of the things may have a tangible item, you know, like a document or some notes or things like that. But you may also have intangible items, like let's say ideas or emotions. So for ideas or emotions, you know, you're going to write those down on a post-it note.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea may be, you know, how to build self-esteem, how to get over fear, how to, you know, get ready to do public speaking, you know. All of those may be ideas that you want to talk about in your book, but you don't have anything, any backup, so you put it on a post-it note, and you create this big, huge resource pile.
So let me see if I've got this right, Ann. And I know as we're speaking today, I mean, there's people listening to us across Indian country. There's people who are not Native Americans who listen. Some 140 or more stations carry the show. People tune in on the internet and the podcasts. But some of them may be saying, yes, this is right up my alley. I'm a health professional. I work in a tribal health clinic. I've been saving these articles. I deal a lot with anorexia nervosa, and I'm really worried about it. And so I've got all this material around my house, in my office, and I'm going to pull that together. So this would be a resource pile that has a lot of technical information. But as you were speaking, I heard you also really opening the door for people to tell their own life story, because you talked about certificates and trophies and pictures. It's basically the same strategy no matter what you're writing about?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whether it's a novel or a memoir or a guide or a reference or a how-to, it's all the same.
Now, if you're coaching on someone to write, let's say they say, well, Anne, I want to write the greatest book about cancer prevention, and I don't know anything about cancer, but I've just seen so many tribal elders dying with cancer, and I'm a grandmother, but I really have a passion about this subject. If they don't have any articles around, if they've maybe got some press clippings about people who've passed away, is that enough to start with? Or are you going to say, well, maybe you're not in an area of your expertise?
No, absolutely. If they have a passion, you know what? The most important thing is, I don't care how big your resource pile, if you only have one item or 100 items, the most important ingredient is your passion for it. Mm-hmm. If that grandmother or that person wants to share and wants to help elders or anyone suffering from cancer, and they feel compelled to write a book, you know what? That's the most powerful ingredient you can have. And it's so easy to get started. Even if you don't think that you have enough, you can gather and create your resource pile by asking questions. And there's lots of ways you can do that. You can be on Facebook and say, hey, I'm writing a book about, you know, cancer. What is your biggest question? And your fans and friends and things will send you questions. Then you can talk to people and get their stories, people who have cancer, people who have survived cancer, you know, and ask them questions. What did you learn? What would you do differently? What would you tell someone else who was in that position? Questions is the answer.
So what I like about what you're saying, Anne, is you really open the doors for anyone, really, to be an author. Am I making it too simplistic?
No, that's real. That's true. If you have the desire, anyone can be an author. Anyone who has a story, an experience, a message, anybody who wants to share, anybody who wants to help and make a difference.
Now, we're speaking about this resource pile, and you made an interesting point in your book that got me thinking. A lot of people say, do all your research first, and those who are tuning into the show may be saying, well, that's what we're talking about. You've got to have all these resources. It sounds like your research is all done. But you make a very explicit point, and you say, almost, don't get bogged down doing a bunch of research before you start the writing process. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Yes, you are. Absolutely. No research. That's just going to stop everything, because research is boring. And here's how I have circumvented that research thing. By creating your resource, the step one is creating the resource pile and gathering everything that you already have. The second step is to create your chapter pile. And that, what that does is that sorts out your subjects and your topics. And then step three is creating your manuscript grid. And when you create your manuscript grid, that is the blueprint to your book. That shows you the structure on one piece of paper. That shows you the structure to your book, so you can see what you have, but you can also see what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Once you create the manuscript grid, then you can say, oh, you know what? I need to do research, but only on this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not wasting time, and you're not doing unnecessary research.
Well, this is a great model. And for those of you that are able to stick with us for the whole hour, Anne is with us, walking us through things you can do to go from that stage of always having wanted to write to actually being an author. But if you can't stay with us for the whole hour, Anne, you've got some great resources. You've got the book. You've got other things on your website. Tell us how people can tap into that material.
You know, you can learn more about my book, and you can actually download a couple of chapters, and the name of the book is 7 Easy Steps to Write Your Book, and that's the same name for the website. It's www.7easysteps.com.
Okay, I've got it here, 7, and that's the number 7, easysteps2writeyourbook.com. I've got it straight, right, Anne?
Absolutely.
I'm going to get there. If you've got that down, 7 Easy Steps to Write Your Book.com, you've got further contact information for Anne. But you don't have to go that far, wait that long even. You may be far away from a computer. Anne is staying by. She's going to tell us a lot more, walk us through more details. deal with also that important issue of writer's block. How do you get around that? We've got all that and more coming up on today's edition of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Don't go away. We'll be back with more.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
American Indian Living is made possible in part by sponsors and partners like author coach Ann McIndoe. Ann McIndoe, helping you reach your potential as a published author and offering to American Indian Living listeners during the month of June 2014 free electronic copies of her book, 7 Easy Steps to Write Your Book. Ann McIndoe at www.7easysteps2writeyourbook.com. Hello, I'm Dr. David DeRose. American Indian Living comes to you as a result of partners and sponsors like Good News TV. Based in Phoenix, Arizona, Good News TV not only provides 24/7 television programming, but also assists American Indian Living with special projects. Learn more about Good News TV programming at mygoodnewstv.com. That's mygoodnewstv.com.
This is the story of Daniel, who was born 2 months early. He weighed 1 pound, 7 ounces. His lungs weren't ready. His heart wasn't ready. His brain wasn't ready. At the hospital, the nurses said Daniel was a fighter, and they would do all they could to help him. The doctor said even with the best care, Daniel may never walk. He may never see. He may never learn. Daniel's parents spent night after night at the hospital, watching his every breath, holding his tiny hands, and looking for signs that he was growing stronger. At home, his parents looked around Daniel's empty nursery, at the quiet toys and the still rocker, and they hoped that one day they could sit in that rocking chair and tell this story to their very healthy son. Daniel's is just one of the more than 500,000 stories of babies born prematurely last year, but there's hope for a happy ending. The March of Dimes is funding the research and programs to stop premature birth. You can help bring more babies home healthy. Learn how at marchofdimes.com. Working together for stronger, healthier babies.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
You're back with Dr. David DeRose and with Ann McIndoe on today's edition of American Indian Living. We're speaking about taking your experience, putting it into writing, actually writing a book, making a difference in that way in your community and beyond. Ann is an author's coach. She tells us, if you were listening in the first segment, that she is the original author's coach. And we're just excited to have you on the program. And you shared with me something during the break about your respect for traditional Native American values. Where does that come from?
You know, living in Palm Springs and in Olympia, Washington, I've had the honor of being exposed to the culture, and I just love it. And I see how important that the traditions, the legacy, the stories be carried forward to future generations. I would love to see that. And yes, there are books about our Native American culture, but you know what? Not enough. And so if there is anything that you want to share, and you know, it could be anything, you know, experiences that your grandparents shared, how you grew up, you know, stories your parents have told you, all of those things make a huge difference to future and to others, so that if you have that story in you, it's important to get it out.
Well, I really appreciate your encouragement, Anne, and I want to say something else, too, because I think one of the logical questions, and you mentioned this is one of the things that keeps people from writing, is someone has that vision to write. They have that passion. They have something they've just been wanting to put into print, get a book out there. And yet they start asking questions like, who's going to ever buy this? How will I find a publisher to publish the book? How do you deal with questions like that?
You know, that's a great question. And that's what an author's coach is for, a writing mentor, you know, to help you get your ideas out, to help you write your book. But then there's a whole next journey. You know, the journey of an author is quite it's a wonderful journey, but it's a long journey. You write your book. You get your book edited. You get your book published. You market and promote your book. Your book is like your baby, and you want to show it off, and you want to share it. I always ask four important questions when someone wants to write a book. First, why are you writing your book? Why do you want to write this book? You know, and I get lots of really great answers. You know, I want to share my story. I want to help people. I want to make a difference. You know, I need credibility. I want an expert status in my business. Those are all beautiful answers. The second question I always ask after why are you writing your book, the second question is, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to use your book? And so if you're a speaker or want to be a speaker, this is a perfect reason to have a book, to sell at the back of the room. If you're a teacher or a consultant, you can, from your book, you can create a workbook. You can create ancillary products. And so that's a great reason. The third question I always ask is, who is your audience? Who's going to read your book? Well, typically people who blank. Like, I wrote a book for people who want to write a book. Mm-hmm. So who is your audience? And the fourth question is, where is your audience? Are they, you know, in your community? Are they at church? Are they online? You know, where does your audience hang out? And so if you can answer those questions and you have a good idea about those questions, then, you know, it's a great start to get your book done. Because writing your book, publishing your book, you can go on Google and simply Google self-publishing and you're going to get over a million hits. There's tons of companies that will publish you. And the one thing that I never, ever let my authors worry about is, what if no one reads it, or who's going to read my book? No, that's not even in the realm. You know, when you write your book, we're going to market it and create it so people will want to read your book so that you can get that the outcome.
Well, we spoke during the break a little bit, and I mentioned it at the end of the last segment, this whole issue of writer's block. And I think you're getting, at least based on what you shared in your book, one of the big reasons for writer's block is you start asking those big questions and it just deflates you. You say, how can I ever sell this? You walk into a bookstore, you see all the books that are out there. Is it just putting that whole set of questions out of your mind, or are there some other strategies that keep you focused on writing?
Yes, there are other strategies. Just like anything, you know, I created what I call my writer's power tools. And it's getting your head, your body, and getting in the game. And, you know, just like anything, if you were going to go play tennis, or if you were going to go paint your house, you know, there would be certain things that you would do beforehand. If you've ever played in any kind of a tournament or a match or a game where, you know, there's competition, I'm sure you just don't get up and, you know, go over to the tennis court in your pajamas and just hit the ball. Mm-hmm. You know, you psych up. You get ready. You put on your special outfit. You get your magical tennis racket and you get ready. You listen to your coach and maybe you do some vision things, you know, visualize. And it's the same thing with the book. And that's why I created the Writer's Power Tools, you know, the power script to get your head in the game, your power move to get your body in the game, and then your power anchors to get your environment ready for you to write your book.
Now, I'll admit, Anne, as I was reading through your book, you've got a lot of these trademarked phrases like you are just walking us through right now. And at first I said, what is this woman talking about? But you actually explain these things very lucidly in the book. Why don't you help us with these three different categories of getting ourselves in the mood to write, getting ourselves in the setting to write? Walk us through those a little bit.
All right. So let's do my writer's power tools. The first one is your power script. And that's what you say to yourself. When you decide, you know, I have two rules for writing a book. One, you make yourself writing appointments. Just, you know, if I usually, when I take an author on, I ask them to budget 2.5 to 3 hours a week to work on their book.
Mm-hmm.
And for those 3 hours, I want you to make one or two, maybe three writing appointments. And the only two guidelines for these appointments are, one, that you keep the appointment, that you show up, mm-hmm. and two, that you have an outcome for the appointment. Like, I'm going to think about things to write about, or I'm going to start my resource pile, or I'm going to work on my manuscript grid, and that you have an action for your appointment, and that you keep your appointment. All right. So when you come to your writing appointment, you're going to do three things on your way to your writing appointment. First, you're going to get your head in the game. That's your power script, and it's what you say to yourself. So, for instance, my power script is yes, yes, yes. I love to write. I love to write. Thank you, God. Thank you, universe. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I am so lucky that I get to write today. And I just say it over and over and over. And that gets my head in the game. Now, if you're saying to yourself, oh, I hope I can write something good. What am I going to write about? I don't even have my resource pile. You know what? You're not going to write. Because you're setting yourself up for failure. Mm-hmm. But if you are saying to yourself, yes, 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 I love to write. Oh, this is going to be so much fun. I can't wait to see what happens. Of course, you know, your head's going, oh, okay, I'm ready. And you've got your head in the game. That's your power script.
And it almost seems like someone who doesn't feel like writing, they say they're not in the mood, you're telling them in this first step to really almost psych themselves up. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah. Well, try to smile, and try to say, I'm happy right now. It doesn't work. Your body will respond. Your head will respond. Your subconscious will kick in and say, yeah, come on, let's get with it.
So that's the first one of these three power tools. Have I got the terminology right?
You got it right. The power tool is the power script, the first one. The second one to get your body in the game is your power tool, your power move. And my power move, I rub my hands together. I rub, and then I clap my hands, and I rub and clap, and I get excited, you know, because when you rub your hands and clap your hands together, you know, your body starts to tingle, and you feel movement, and now your body's in the game. And so I keep repeating my script, yes, 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 rubbing my hands, clapping my hands, yes, 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 and all of a sudden I feel vibrant. I feel excited. I feel really great. And so my head's in the game, my body's in the game, and now it's time to get the environment. Go to our power anchors. And your power anchors, if you know anything about NLP, about neuro-linguistic programming, is that, you know, we have certain triggers in our head. Like if you hear a song on the radio or you see something, it can remind you about something in your history or in your past.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I like to do is I like to suggest to my authors that they set up a spot where they can write, where they can work on their book. And it could be their desk, it could be the kitchen table, it could be a little area in their bedroom, anywhere where you can just leave your stuff and it could be there and you can work on your book. And at that little place, you surround yourself with some things that remind you or inspire you. Maybe it's a picture of a family. Maybe it's a postcard from somewhere or a souvenir from somewhere you visited. But something that makes you feel good. It doesn't have to be about writing. It could be about anything. You know, I have a seashell on my desk that I got when I went to Fiji when I was working with Tony Robbins. And it is an amazing anchor for me because I had just had an incredible writing session with him, and I went down to the beach. I found this amazing shell, and I brought it home from Fiji, and it sits on my desk. So can you imagine when I pick up that shell, and then I hold it up to my ear, and I can hear the ocean, and I feel the shell? Can you imagine what happens to me when I do that?
I'm making these connections, Anne, and I'm sure many of our listeners are just following right along with you. You've got so much more practical stuff, and yet we've got to slip away just for a couple of minutes. Anne McIndoe is actually giving you a free author's coaching session. Don't miss the rest of it. Anne isn't going away. We're all staying by. You do the same. We'll be right back. I'm Dr. DeRose.
American Indian Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
American Indian Living is made possible in part by sponsors and partners like author coach Anne McIndoe. Anne McIndoe, helping you reach your potential as a published author and offering to American Indian Living listeners during the month of June 2014 free electronic copies of her book, 7 Easy Steps to Write Your Book. Ann McIndoe at www.7, that's the numeral 7, easystepstowriteyourbook.com.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
You're back with Dr. David DeRose for the second half of today's edition of American Indian Living. Today's show is devoted to a subject that has far-reaching health implications. Evidence that you can actually improve your own health by writing, journaling, other things that use the pen and paper or the computer or whatever you like to journal using, but also that you can help other people by writing something for publication. Ann McIndoe is with us. She's an author's coach, and she's been sharing some fascinating and practical ideas. And for those who've either missed the first part of the show or just want more information, you've got a website. Tell us what that is again.
You can go to www.easystepstowriteyourbook.com. And to learn more, you can also go to authorsbootcamp.com.
Okay, Authors Bootcamp. That's a new one for me.
That's it. If you're serious about writing your book, come and work with me. And I'll take you through the process. We'll meet together for 2 days, and you'll have your book out of your head and in your hands in 30 days.
So you mean this author's boot camp is not just a virtual experience. This is where people go and they actually get to meet you and work together?
Absolutely, yes. There's a six-week coaching program that precedes the boot camp, and then we get together. We get together for a couple of days. And you talk your book live to me and one of my coaches, and then I teach you how to launch the business of your book, how to create ancillary products for your book, and then within 30 days you have your manuscript, and then we talk about publishing and marketing and promoting your book.
Wow, amazing. Authorsbootcamp.com.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Ann, as we were leading into this segment, I talked about this subject of journaling. Many people have found this freeing. It's an important part of their own health or spiritual health. Some people have told me just was ratcheted up a level when they started journaling. You speak in your book about the value of journaling, though, for a prospective author. And it sounded like that was dealing with some of these roadblocks or these writing blocks. Can you help us connect those things together?
Yes. You know, journaling can be very, very powerful. And I've had, you know, I'm thinking of one person specifically where they literally transformed. They talked their book on Saturday, and it was a very emotional, very heavy, you know, hard thing for them to do, but they went through it. They talked it all out, and I hugged her, and we said goodnight. And then the next morning when we got together, I did not recognize her. No. It was like she was glowing. It was like all this horrible black stuff had just been pulled out of her, just drained out of her. And so journaling can be very powerful for healing, for getting, you know, getting rid of stress, you know, for just writing it out. Sometimes when you write stuff out, it just makes it so easy to understand and to get it. And so another thing that journaling does is it breaks through writer's block.
Mm.
And I say that because to me, there is no such thing as writer's block. To me, writer's block is just a fear of what you want to say or don't know how to say it,
mm-hmm.
you know. But if I posed you a question, the right question, the writer's block would be gone.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed in your book you had a number of exercises where you give a list of three words and have people write. And I'm assuming that anyone, when they see those three words, they can start writing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See the words and then just start writing what you see. Another great thing, and I come back to this, is questions. If you want to write a book about whatever you want to write a book about, healing cancer, talk to someone and ask questions. What would you want to know about healing cancer? What would you want to know about blank?
Now, we're pushing this whole subject of writing. We're saying there's value for the writer. There's value to the reader because there's people out there in the world that can benefit, even from your family, that could benefit from something that you wrote, because we've now got these opportunities for self-publishing. You don't have to have a book run of 10,000 copies, right? You can just print 10 books. Is that possible?
Absolutely. With print on demand, you only have to print one.
Okay.
I would print at least three, one for you and one for your mom and for your best friend.
Okay. The barriers to publishing a book just seem so low today, like they've never been before. Is that just a perception or is that reality?
It's reality. It's so easy. It's so easy to publish your book that one of the resources I use is lulu.com, www.lulu.com. And you can publish anything. If you've written a story, you can go to lulu.com, upload your file, create a cover, pay with a credit card. You know, they'll tell you how much it costs to print one book, depending on the number of pages. It's usually about $4 or $5. And then the shipping will cost you more. And then you can have your book in less than a week.
So let me see if I'm hearing this right. This lulu.com is like a self-publishing website?
Absolutely. And there's dozens and dozens of them. I've tried several. The one I like the best is Lulu because it also offers editing and marketing and book cover. It offers services that you can take advantage of, but you don't have to. If you got your stuff together, you know, it's very, very cheap. Can I give you a real quick recipe?
Yeah, please do it.
Okay. Let's say you have a story or an article or a little ebook or anything that you want to publish and you want to make it look like a real book.
Uh-huh.
Here's what you do. You go to lulu.com and you ask for a soft cover book. Before you go to Lulu, go to Fiverr, Fiverr.com. Fiverr, F-I-V as in Victor, E-R-R.com, where you can get your book cover done for $5.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, you will need a back cover and you'll need a spine, so it'll probably cost you $15 to $20. But typically, the cost of a book cover can range anywhere from $350 to I've seen as high as $5,000.
Whoa.
So on Fiverr, you can probably get a really good one. Like, I get mine done with this gal that I found, and she charges me $30. It's a bargain. So you go to Fiverr, get your book cover. Then you go to Lulu, you upload your file, you upload your book cover, you get a free ISBN number. You know, that's the number on the back of your book.
Uh-huh.
Anybody can order your book. You get one for free. Typically, you would go to the ISBN.org, and they charge you $250 for that. So you can get on Lulu, you can get one for free. And then they ask you, do you want to be on Amazon? Do you want to market your book? You say yes. And voila, you're there.
That's amazing.
And you can, how many do you want to buy? Well, you know, I'll take 5 right now. And then once you sign up, they send you coupons for a 25, 15, 20, 25% discount to order more books. And each book, again, depending on the size and the number of pages, will determine how much a book costs. But I just did a beautiful book with 150 pages. It was $6. And, you know, you can just order as many as you wish.
I remember some years ago meeting someone. He was actually a college professor, if I'm recalling the scenario, and I think he took out a second mortgage on his house. He had his garage filled with these books that he had printed. I think the story ultimately ended happily, but in those days, the message was very clear. If you don't have a lot of money or if you don't have backing, you're not going to get anywhere with a book project. But what I hear you telling us, Anne, very clearly, is finances are not a huge obstacle.
That's correct. That's correct. And, you know, and even though you don't make much money on a book, because a book is going to cost you anywhere between $5, $7 at the most to publish each book, to print each book, and you know, you can order them as you wish. And so if you sell it for $15 or $20, you know, you can make some money. But here's the real secret. Based on that book, I always coach my clients to create three ancillary products, the audiobook, a coaching program, and a workbook. Mm-hmm. Because I always ask the author, would you like to sell your book for $20, or would you like to sell your system, your book, your audiobook, your workbook, for $1,000? Which one would you rather do? Because that's the opportunity that's there with your message.
So basically, people who are tuning in today who said, I've never written because I don't have the means, I don't have the resources, I don't know what kind of a budget. If you counsel people, do you tell them they should have X amount of money, should have at least $500 if you're going to go down this path, or is even that more than they need?
You know, if you're going to do it on your own, if you're going to do it on your own, you would want to, you know, and you invest your time. You know, okay, let's say you go, okay, let's do a bargain, basement, very low budget program. You buy my book for $20.
Uh-huh.
You follow the program and you write your book. You go on Lulu, maybe spend $35 on a book cover. Go on Lulu and maybe spend $50 to order some copies of your book. And you set up a website, a landing page. That's it. That's all you have to do. The hardest part will be to drive traffic to that web page so you can sell your book. And you do that by social media, you know, talking to your friends on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is huge for promotion to professionals, going on fabulous radio interviews like this one, and spreading your message and helping people.
Tremendous. So it's not a difficult process. Takes definitely a time commitment. And I'll tell you, as I read through your book, I didn't have any question that someone could go through that process and write a book. I actually didn't do it, and I don't have a book at the, as the end result of actually having read your book. I actually just finished going through it shortly before the show. But I can see that happening, but the big question, like you're saying, is, yes, you can get that book out there, you can share it with people you're working with family members, you can sell it on a website, but to actually get the masses to know about your book, well, that's another question, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, Anne, let's just do one more thing. We've been speaking so much about the book. Give us the title one more time, and again, how people can get a hold of it.
The name of the book is 7 Easy Steps to Write Your Book. And you can go to 7easystepstowriteyourbook.com to learn more about your book.
Now, Anne, just the medical world we're in today, we're always asking questions about conflict of interest, and that carries over in my mind as I'm speaking with my guests. And you've been really promoting Lulu. Is this a company that you own as well, or is this just something that's a valuable resource?
Oh, no, I don't own, I don't own it. It's a company that I found that was referred to me by another publisher, and I've been using them since 2007. So I've had, you know, I've done quite a few books with them, and I wanted to create my own publishing company. And so I'm using Lulu as the printer and as the resource for getting, for creating these beautiful books. And so anyone can go and use them, and it's reasonable, it works, they produce beautiful material, beautiful product, and so I highly recommend them.
This is great. 7 Easy Steps to Write Your Book. That's the title of Anne McIndoe's book, and her website is the same, 7, the number 7, Easy Steps to Write Your Book. And I'm excited about what you're sharing with me. I've written before, but as I think about some projects that I've got in the back burner, you're getting me excited. You're saying, hey, there's not a big hurdle. Just follow some simple steps. Set aside time. Start writing. The obstacles to publishing a book today, lower than they've ever been before. And I know you can stay by just for one more segment. I've got your schedule pinned down that correctly, or am I pushing my luck?
No, we're good. We're good.
Okay. We're going to be back with more from Anne McIndoe. Stay tuned. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Don't miss our final segment, final practical things you can do to get into print. Stay tuned.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
American Indian Living is made possible in part by sponsors and partners like author coach Ann McIndoe. Ann McIndoe, helping you reach your potential as a published author and offering to American Indian Living listeners during the month of June 2014 free electronic copies of her book, 7 Easy Steps to Write Your Book. Ann McIndoe at www.7, that's the numeral 7, easystepstowriteyourbook.com. Hello, I'm Dr. David D. Rose. American Indian Living comes to you as a result of partners and sponsors like Good News TV. Based in Phoenix, Arizona, Good News TV not only provides 24/7 television programming, but also assists American Indian Living with special projects. Learn more about Good News TV programming at mygoodnewstv.com. That's mygoodnewstv.com.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom.
I go to school with your children.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
You see me around the neighborhood and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every 5 children in America and I'm struggling with hunger.
This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we can grow up to be whatever we want.
I want to grow up to be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry.
There's enough food in this country to feed everybody.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger.
Together, we are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE, 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to the final segment of today's edition of American Indian Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Ann McIndoe with me. And some of you, I know you get frustrated that we've got these sponsorship messages, these commercial breaks, whatever you want to call them. But I'll tell you, Ann, this is one of the most exciting breaks I've ever had with a guest because you are offering something to my listeners that I don't think I've ever had a guest offer before. Tell them about the exciting thing that you've got prepared for them.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I would like to offer my book to all of your readers. Anyone who's interested, you know, who wants to write a book and interested in the 7 steps and how easy it is to write a book. And you know what? Here's a really special part about this. My book will teach you how to write a book, but it'll also teach you how to write a memo, a status report, any kind of, you know, chart, anything that you need to organize your thoughts and to write down. My book is a great tool, for using at work, for using to create a letter. So anyway, if you'd like a copy of my book, I'd be delighted to send you an electronic version of my book. All you have to do is just send me an email. My email address is Ann, A-N-N, at soyouwanttowrite.com. And that's S-O, so, you, Y-O-U, want, W-A-N-T, to, T-O, write, WRITE.com. SoYouWantToWrite.com. If you'll send me an email at Ann@SoYouWantToWrite.com, I will send you a copy of my book, an electronic version.
And you're doing that free of charge.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is exciting. So if you're listening today and you say, well, I've thought about writing, well, don't think about writing. Think about getting Ann's book. It is a valuable book. I've gone through it. I really like the material there. We're not selling anything on this show. You can actually get the book for free. That title again, 7 Easy Steps to Write Your Book. And if you didn't take note of it when Ann mentioned it because you didn't catch that amazing price, free electronic copy, just write her at Ann, A-N-N, at soyouwanttowrite.com. And I mean, this is exciting. So anybody doesn't have an excuse now. No, nobody has an excuse. I guess I'm getting my English right here. Nobody has an excuse for saying, I don't know how to go about writing a book, because you're offering them the resource.
That's right. That's right. That's absolutely free, and it absolutely works. And so if you decide, all you have to do is decide to write your book. It has to go from a should to a must. It can't be, oh, I should write a book. It's, I must write my book. Send me a note, and I'll send you my book.
Well, and how does someone go from that point? Because there's a lot of people out there that say I should. In fact, I'll tell you, I had a guest on the show a while back, and they were talking about their mother who was going to write this great book, and she died before she ever did it. And I don't think she died when she was in her 30s. I think she lived many years. Why is that such a common story that we hear?
We don't know how to get started. I think that's the biggest reason I hear that it doesn't get done. I don't know what to do first. So now you know what to do first, and to do it, you know, because you never know how long you're going to be here, or that person's going to be here, and we need that information. The young generations need that.
This is an important message. You folks tuning into American Indian Living, writing can be a healing process for you. It can also make a huge difference to your family, your tribe, your community, and beyond. But, Ann, I've got to ask another question. It's been in the back of my mind for the whole show. And I know there's a lot of people listening saying, I'd love to write a book, but I can't write. I can't even spell.
It's no problem. Talk your book. You talk it. If you can talk, you can have a book.
Make sure I understood this, because this is really remarkable if it's true. You've actually had people just get a digital recorder, just speak into it, and then they've sent this recording away to a transcriber or a corporation that actually doesn't do just transcription but puts it into book form, and they've actually got a manuscript at the end of just talking into recorder. Did I understand that right?
Yes, that's my process. However, there's just one little step in front of that, and that is that you prepare. Before you just start talking into a recorder, there is some preparation.
Okay.
It's like when you're making the brownies, you just don't throw the box in the oven. You know, you have to do a couple little things before you can throw that mix in the oven. And it's the same thing with talking your book. And that's why I have my coaching program, my author's coaching program, that before you talk your book, we work together, we organize your subjects, your topics, we create your manuscript grid, and now you can talk your book. Now you're ready to make those brownies, to paint that house, to go play golf. Now you're ready. You're prepared. We work together. You talk your book, whether you come to a live event and talk your book with me, or if you talk your book on your own, and then you send me the recorder. I send you a recorder. You talk it. Then you send it back. I have it transcribed, and I prepare your manuscript.
So basically, and anybody that is willing to invest some time, even if they feel they can't write, if, I think you put it this way in your book, if you can speak, you can write.
That's right. You know, it all comes down to those questions. You know, and so I always like to ask myself, so tell me your story. Tell me why you want to write this book. Tell me, you know, what you want to say. What do you want to say to your audience? And if you pose that question to someone, just see how they light up and how they, you know, you can't, 30 minutes later, you know, you have to stop them. It's easy to talk about something you're passionate about.
Now, we've used some terms in this show that may elude many of the listeners because they're not sitting there with that copy of the free ebook in front of them. But you talk about this manuscript grid. Have I got the terminology right?
That's correct.
Is it safe to say, and of course I've read the book, I've actually seen the examples in the book, but for someone who hasn't seen that, would it be safe for them to envision this as just a kind of fancy or special type of outline, or is that not doing justice to the concept?
I think a great way to describe it would be to imagine a chart or like a spreadsheet with 10 columns across and 10 rows down, and it's like a big grid. And we're going to fill it with our subjects and topics in the order that we're going to speak to it.
And you build on that manuscript grid to a larger kind of prototype, if you will. What do you call that?
That's the storyboard. Once you have your grid, then we do what I call your trigger sentences. And then from the trigger sentences, we create your storyboard. And that's the big picture of your book.
So if someone wants to envision this, they could be sitting in their office, in their kitchen, in their bedroom, wherever they're doing this. And like you mentioned in the book, you don't have to have some special office to write. You just need a special place to write, correct?
Yes. Uh-huh.
They can have this storyboard in full view, and they can see exactly where the book needs to go. And at the point in time when they're ready to, quote, do the writing, they don't even have to sit down with pen and paper or computer. They can just take a digital recorder and speak into it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Once you have your storyboard done and you're ready to talk, and there's some preparation to do with the storyboard, you have your subjects and topics up there with your Post-it notes, and you practice by looking at each Post-it note and visualizing and saying what you want to say about that and putting some bullet points down. So this way, when you make your appointment to talk your book, you are totally ready, and you're congruent,
mm-hmm.
and you're prepared. And then you get your recorder, you turn it on, you talk your book. Typically, 10 chapters with 10 topics takes about anywhere, depending on how fast you speak and how much you say, but about 4 to 6 hours. So you can easily do it in one day, or you can do a couple chapters a day and have it done in less than a week. And it's very simple. It's a lot shorter than writing a book.
Well, this is great. And believe it or not, our time has just vanished. We're just out of time, essentially, on today's program. Tell us a couple more times about some of these great resources. One, again, how to get a free copy of your book, and then how to tap into some of your other resources.
If you'd like a free copy of my book, just send me an email, ann@soyouwanttowrite.com. If you'd like to learn about some of the other products that I have, you can go to www.7easystepstowriteyourbook.com, and you can see more about the book, and I have a couple of offers on there that I can send you my author docs, I can send you some other things to get you started. And then if you're really serious about writing your book, visit authorsbootcamp.com. There is a 6-week lead time so that we can get you ready to talk your book, but it's a pretty amazing event, and you get your book. And so you can check it out there as well.
Ann, thank you so much. You've expanded my vision about the ease and the privilege of writing, getting a message out there in print. Hopefully it's inspired you, as my listeners on American Indian Living, to not just sit there thinking about something you always wanted to do, but actually get out there, write that book, make a difference. Ann McIndoe, again, you can get in touch with her through her website, 7EasyStepsToWriteYourBook.com. I'm Dr. David DeRose, wishing you, as always, the very best of health.
This is Life Talk Radio.